What Really Happened with your host, Mike Rivero. The history the government hopes you never learn. Here is your host, Michael Rivero.
And aloha, America. Welcome to our show today. It is Thursday, January 4th, 2018 here. Sure happy it's Thursday. Sure happy it's Thursday. Sure happy it's Thursday. We have got a lot of stuff to talk about today. The phone lines are already open, 800-313-9443. Pardon me. Mike is in our control room, ready to answer the phone and put you on the air with your comments and questions. A lot of stuff going on. It's 2018 is already starting to turn out to look like a very interesting year politically, and a lot of it comes down to focus on the classified emails that were found on Anthony Weiner's laptop and the revelation that Huma Abedin was sending her State Department computer passwords through unsecured email, her private email account. And so basically, Tom Fitton is out there saying, our Weiner laptop find shows need for criminal investigation of Abedin Clinton classified info mishandling. I think we may be at a tipping point. He may be right. But I'm not going to get out the champagne just yet here, because if I am correct as to what was really going on with that email server, then you can expect a huge faction fight within the government to keep this thing from going any further. And it's the kind of faction fight that can literally tear governments apart. And the more I look at what's going on inside the Beltway, it does seem like there's a lot of fractures that are forming right now. So Huma Abedin, when the FBI was investigating, and I use that word loosely, the email server scandal, Huma Abedin was never interrogated by the FBI, just interviewed, and her laptop computer, the one she got after she gave her old one to Anthony Weiner, was simply destroyed. Remember that bizarre set of deals that came on out for immunity deals, and the FBI was not going to look at anything on those computers past the date when the story went public. So that anything the Clinton and Huma Abedin were doing to try and obstruct justice was outside the FBI's scope. The whole thing was totally corrupt from top to bottom. And this article I'm looking at in AmericaOutloud.com, the paragraph ends with a notable quote. The depth of Hillary's protection is breathtaking, and yes, it is. And that is why I am convinced that the real scandal of the email server is still being hidden from the American people. And that, of course, I mean, is talking about Hillary replaying that 1996 ChinaGate scandal, selling America's secrets to foreign interests in exchange for campaign donations. It was called ChinaGate back in 1996. There was an investigation, but it went nowhere because, golly, critical evidence was accidentally lost and deleted, blah, blah, blah. We've heard it all again. Apparently, Attorney General Jeff Sessions is responding to all the pressure, from the White House, pressure from the public, the fact that once again, classified information is found in places it ought not to be, Title 18 violations. And so Justice Department officials are going to take a fresh look at Hillary Clinton's email server. Now, I wouldn't get excited just yet, because we know all too often a government investigation is just another taxpayer-funded process to polish up the existing lies. And we're already hearing the Comey defense. Hillary and Abedin didn't mean to do anything wrong. They were being careless. But if you read Title 18, intent is not required. It is the actual act of exposing classified information to foreign sources that is the crime, not what you meant to do. And here is where it gets kind of sticky for Huma Abedin. She sent her State Department computer passwords through non-secure mail to her non-secure computer. And apparently that computer was indeed hacked by Russians working with that same bank that eventually gave Bill Clinton $500,000 for a single speech. And that means no Russians hacked the State Department computers. They just logged in. Now, Jason Chaffetz is out there calling for Jeff Sessions to resign, and I agree. If the Department of Justice is going to do an honest investigation of Hillary's email server, if the American people are ever going to trust anything coming out of the Department of Justice, Sessions has to go. And Jason Chaffetz says, I do believe it's time for the Attorney General Sessions to go. There are major systemic problems within the Department of Justice that get talked about on an almost daily basis. I don't think the Attorney General is up to that job. Sessions may be up to the job. The problem is his job is keeping the lid on the scandals that can bring down the entire government. That's what's going on there. I want Larry Klayman in there, or Tom Fitton, or Alan Favish. Let's get them in there. These are investigative attorneys that do the job, and they're nonpartisan. They go after the corrupt politicians on both sides of the aisle. We need new blood in all of Washington, D.C. We're going to do a shout out now to our on-air affiliates who are just now rejoining our network. Now, congressional investigators, in fact, a couple of these committees say they've uncovered more contradictions and irregularities inside the FBI probe of Hillary Clinton's email server. They're getting these from Comey, Strzok, McCabe. And again, in keeping an eye on the overall, the FBI kept the Hillary Clinton investigation at that very top level. No lower level FBI agents were allowed to make any decisions about it whatsoever. And we now know they were preparing to exonerate Hillary even before the investigation was over, even before critical evidence had been reviewed. Now, in the end, Comey did not technically exonerate Hillary Clinton. Exoneration is when somebody gets up and says, you're innocent of the charges you were accused of. All Comey said was, she's guilty of Title 18 violations, but we choose not to prosecute. And former Attorney General Loretta Lynch agreed. That's not really an exoneration. Those charges are still out there. Those Title 18 violations. Hillary can still be prosecuted for that, and she ought to be. Right now, the credibility of the FBI, the credibility of the Department of Justice, the credibility of the entire federal government is on the line. The American people are watching. The world is watching what's going to happen here. Now, some of the information that's coming on out are talking about just a huge flow of classified information that went out to Hillary Clinton's email server. And of course, following the subpoena by Congress, she deleted those 30,000 emails, insisted they were all private, family matter, and poof, it's gone. The backups disappeared. For some strange reason, the NSA didn't have it. But apparently, lower FBI officials, looking at the volume of classified information that was pouring out of the State Department onto Hillary's weak private email server, were convinced laws had been broken, that criminal activity was going on. Now, apparently, one of these congressional committees is trying to find the identity of a witness. It's been redacted from the FBI documents. So the FBI is hiding things from members of Congress. But lawmakers have pretty much figured out he was an employee of a computer firm that helped maintain her personal server after she left office as America's top diplomat, and belatedly admitted that he had permanently erased an archive backup of her messages in 2015 after they had been subpoenaed by Congress. Don't you get tired of hearing about this? Oh, the hard drive failed, the backups were destroyed, gee, we're sorry, the server farm burnt down, the dog ate my data. Congressional investigators say the FBI had found that the sheer volume of classified information was received and sent from the non-secure private server. That's just it. And I reposted my article, Hillary the Spy, to the front page of whatreallyhappened.com. You need to go back and look at that. That gives you the backstory on ChinaGate and the early story of the email server. And I'm convinced. I'm looking for more evidence. I'm convinced that's what Hillary was doing. 40% of the money that poured into the Clinton Foundation came from foreign sources. There was the hacker called himself Guccifer, and he reported that when he was inside Hillary's private email server, he saw at least 10 foreign IPs logged in. Hillary's private email server had weaker security than Ashley Madison, which turned out to be a big joke. Now, Chuck Grassley is on the warpath against former FBI Director Comey, saying that Comey leaked classified information. And basically what it was is shortly after he was fired as the FBI Director, James Comey forwarded on material to Professor Richmond. And basically Richmond was the one who then moved forward saying that there's a need for an investigation into Russia and so forth, along with many other voices. But apparently, Senate Judiciary Committee Chairman Chuck Grassley has written a letter to Deputy Attorney General Rod Rosenstein demanding answers about the handling of memos that Comey wrote following his conversations with President Trump, which contained classified information. And so Professor Richmond was given classified information for which he did not have the appropriate security clearance. Everybody's playing fast and loose with all of this. The classified information, it's the coin of the realm. It's something of value. Let's find a buyer. The White House is starting to look like storage wars out there. They break open the lock and they sell off everything that's inside to the highest bidder. Story out of Fox News. Even Fox News is getting on this. The FBI cleared Clinton before getting key evidence. And apparently, congressional investigators have written documentation showing the FBI was going to do this. No matter what the FBI found, they were going to clear her. Now, do you really think that everybody at the FBI loves Hillary Clinton? No, they're protecting a bigger secret, one that could bring down the entire government. That's the only thing that explains this incredible depth of protection around Hillary Clinton. She has done something that could destroy Americans' trust and confidence in the federal government completely and utterly. And they're all scared for their jobs. Okay, let's take a phone call here from Dustin in New Jersey. Aloha, Dustin. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Yeah, how you doing, Mike? I'm calling from 12 inches of snow in New Jersey here.
Oh, it's intense. I got family all over New England, and they're all snowed in and trying to get their driveway shoveled out. They're saying it's really, really bad.
It is, but it's not the worst. No, it's dealable. You know, you got to deal with it and move on. You know, should have had enough stuff ready to cure yourself for a couple of days. You know, but hey, Mike, on Iran. I don't think Iran's got to really worry about another revolution. We tried that already, and it's different. I mean, they're nationalistic in Iran, and they know from past experience what was done to them. And sure, you get a percentage of people over there that are like, basically communists, right? That's what there are over there. They're globalists, you know. But they're not going to succeed. But you know, Mike, over here, there's more of a destabilization that can occur because half the population don't like Trump because they're, you know, globalist, liberal, whatever you want to call it, or neocon, you know, it's with Black Lives Matter.
Well, that's two different groups. That's two different groups.
Yeah, but they all have that ideology of globalism or world view, you know. So they're not the same, but they do have a few things in common, you know what I mean?
Yes.
Like they don't like Trump. You know, but I don't think Iran's really got anything to worry about.
The latest word we're getting out of Iran is that already all of these the violent protests are already fizzling out. The protests over economic concerns are continuing. But this color revolution appears to be falling apart faster than the one they tried in 2009.
Yeah, and, you know, Mike, we said this before. This is all about economics because they fear Iran. You know, Saudi Arabia is basically in decline, so is the U.S., and the Russias,
yes.
And the China is, you know, in you know,
well, Russia and China are on the ascent. Russia and China, they're heading up.
Yeah, don't forget, January 18th, the first contracts come online, I believe, for the Shanghai Gold Co-op. So, yep. You know, this year's going to see a lot of stuff. And, Mike, on what's your take on Steve Bannon, like the book? And I know there's people who like Trump, and you don't like – I mean, we like Trump. We don't like Trump. Either he's been captured or he's a fraud. Either way, I think it comes down to the same conclusion that we're in trouble.
We are definitely in trouble. I mean, I've got a whole section on Bannon that we're about to get to. And so I'd like to hold off my commentary until then.
Okay, that's all I wanted. Have a great show, Mike.
All right, thanks an awful lot, Dustin. We're going to let you go. Now, as you know, the Democrats, and for that matter, the corporate media, had pinned their hopes of bringing down Donald Trump on this whole Trump-Russia collusion issue. And it's fallen apart. There's nothing there. After an entire year, millions of dollars, Robert Mueller found nothing. And so the New York Times is trying to change the narrative. And basically, the first original narrative that was pushing Trump-Russia collusion focused on Carter Page, who was called a foreign policy advisor by the Times last April. And that story claimed that a June 2016 visit by Page to Moscow was the catalyst for the FBI investigation into connections between Russia and President Trump's campaign. And, of course, Page denied any collusion took place. And serious intelligence officials noted that the Russian assets, far better than Page, were in place to have reached out to the Trump campaign if, in fact, there was going to be any collusion. So fast forward to the New Year's weekend, and the Times ran another lengthy, breathless story saying, no, it wasn't Carter Page who touched off the FBI investigation. It was an even lower level Trump campaign associate named George Papadopoulos. And people are scratching their heads and wondering, why is the Times changing the story this far after the fact? And basically, it looks like the Times is an effort, the Times story, the change, is to help Democrats cover up the use of the bogus Trump dossier to secure a FISA warrant. Because that basically is fraud. It's perjury. When you go to swear out a warrant, you're required to swear under oath the allegations are true. And so they're trying to distance themselves away from that. Now, a little bit of good news. President Donald Trump was sued by a liberal advocacy group, Citizens for Responsibility and Ethics in Washington, shortly after the inauguration. And the issue of the lawsuit was that Trump's owning of properties that were being rented by foreign officials doing business with the government violated the emoluments clause, even though all of Trump's holdings are now in a trust under the control of his sons. And finally, again, the liberals were breathlessly out there saying this will bring him down. Trump is ineligible to be president because of all of this. The case just got thrown out of court. And even more interesting, the judge that threw the case out was appointed by President Clinton. So the liberals can't go out there screaming, oh, it's another corrupt GOP judge. Now, getting on back to Robert Mueller's investigation, former Trump campaign chairman Paul Manafort has now filed lawsuit against Robert Mueller, Deputy Attorney General Rod Rosenstein, and the entire Department of Justice in U.S. federal court, alleging that Mueller strayed beyond the scope of the investigation he was authorized to pursue. And yes, he did. Mueller was supposed to investigate Trump-Russia collusion, not just go on off on fishing expeditions until they could find anything that would result in an indictment. And Manafort's suit also alleges that the order appointing Mueller exceeds the Deputy Attorney General's authority and that all actions taken by the special counsel must be set aside. I'm fully in agreement. More about this when we come back.
so, you love talk radio, then you'll love TalkStreamLive.com. TalkStream Live is always on, 24-7, with the best streaming talk shows. Find your favorite talkers and discover some new ones. It's free, readily available online or on mobile with any smartphone or tablet. Finding your favorite talk shows all in one place has gotten a whole lot easier. Just go to TalkStreamLive.com. Be sure to download the free apps from Google Play or the iTunes App Store.
Do you or a loved one suffer migraine headaches? Listen to what scientist Kurt Hendricks has to say.
If you are one of the millions of people who get migraines, you need to know about MigRelief. Hi, I'm Kurt Hendricks, the scientist who created MigRelief, the patented dietary supplement that addresses nutritional deficiencies in adults and children with migraines. Thousands of physicians and pharmacists recommend MigRelief.
Call 800-MIG-7354 or visit MIG911.com.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now, but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
We the people, in order to form a more perfect union, establish justice, ensure domestic tranquility, provide for the common defense, promote the general welfare, and secure the blessings of liberty.
And aloha, America. Welcome back to our show here. And again, the address, if you want to support Republic Broadcasting, and believe me, we would not ask if we did not need it, is Republic Broadcasting Network, 2251 Double Creek Drive, number 302, Round Rock, Texas, 78664. The phone number, if you want to become a regular subscriber to Republic Broadcasting, is 800-724-2719. Extension 03. So we're talking about the fact that Paul Manafort is suing Robert Mueller, Deputy Attorney General Rod Rosenstein, and the Department of Justice, saying that Mueller's indictments are outside the scope of his original investigation, and that all actions taken by the special counsel must be set aside, meaning the indictments be quashed. Now, if he gets a halfway decent, honest judge, he's probably going to win this lawsuit, because Rod Rosenstein actually violated the special counsel statute, because the special counsel statute says there must first be a Department of Justice investigation, and only when that investigation finds actual evidence of wrongdoing is a special counsel appointed to pursue the matter. That didn't happen. Rosenstein simply came on in and said to Mueller, go look for evidence that Russia and Trump were colluding in last year's election. So I'm glad Paul is suing. He's got a good chance of winning. Because basically, Mueller unlawfully exceeded his authority. Now, the Department of Justice is claiming this is a frivolous lawsuit, but Paul Manafort can file whatever he wants to file, which is the usual sort of statement you'll get. Now, as you know, there's been a little bit of a fight between Devin Nunes and the Department of Justice, between the House Intelligence Committee and Department of Justice, over documents and witnesses. And the Department of Justice has been withholding from Congress this material and these witnesses, which they're not allowed to do. Congress has oversight. The House Intelligence Committee, these various committees, they have oversight. These agencies are answerable to them. Well, apparently, the Department of Justice has capitulated, and Devin Nunes has issued a statement saying that all the documents, everything that has been requested, along with these witnesses, will be made available to the House Intelligence Committee. Now, let's talk about Steve Bannon, because obviously he's getting a lot of news coverage today, and a lot of people are wondering, what the heck is going on? And apparently it has to do with a book that is about to come out, maybe, in which there are a lot of quotes by Steve Bannon that really, they're not very good. And the book is called Fire and Fury. It's written by Michael Wolff, and it's a very negative portrait of the Trump White House after the first year. And apparently Donald Trump was very incensed over Bannon's comment that a 2016 meeting with a Russian lawyer was treason. Now, the lawyer in question approached Donald Trump Jr. and some of the other people over the Magnitsky Act. There was no talk about the campaign, no talk about Hillary. That's a dead issue. And yet Michael Wolff apparently was willing to put this in the book. So Trump just launched on Steve Bannon. And it's been described as running him over with a tank and then backing up. And Trump came on out and said when Bannon was fired, he not only lost his job, he lost his mind. Mitch McConnell is out there saying that he supports President Trump's blistering attack on Stephen Bannon. And Bannon has repeatedly lashed out at McConnell, so this is payback time. Bannon has called for McConnell's resignation, predicting he would lose his spot in the Senate leadership despite wide support from the caucuses. So there's been a war of words there. Surprisingly, today, Steve Bannon himself is out there making very supportive comments of Trump. Okay, last night, came on out and called Trump a great man, saying, I support him day in and day out. This was on a Breitbart satellite radio show, and a subsequent headline on the Breitbart website said, Bannon takes the high road. So everybody's trying to figure out what the heck is going on. Was Bannon just spouting off into a tape recorder? It's hard to believe that one, because Bannon is an experienced media person. He knows there's really no such thing as off the record. Is Bannon basically trying to bring the Trump White House down himself because we didn't get the Trump that we all voted for? Maybe. But he may be making nice with Trump now, because ardent support for Trump is central to the Breitbart brand. More about that when we come back.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Ladies and gentlemen, J.R. Moore here. As most of you know, my regular listeners, I offer energy cleaners for sale at my website. If you don't have a clue what I'm talking about, go to my website, thelibertyman.com, educate yourself about these marvelous healing devices. We focus on pain mitigation and getting a great night's sleep. Arthritis pain, joint pain, back pain, doesn't matter. Keep in mind, I offer for me to you personally a 30-day money-back guarantee. That's what I do. Energy cleaners, $285, shipping included, to American zip codes. You can educate yourself all about the energy cleaner right there at my website, the patent application, the wonderful testimonials. Be sure and check out the factory-made fitted mattress pads to go with the energy cleaner. Now, I offer for me to you personally a 30-day money-back guarantee. That's what I do. I have a toll-free order line, or you can order it right at my website at thelibertyman.com. The toll-free order line is 800-592-9543. I say again, 800-592-9543. Thank you.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to aroutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AirOutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AirOutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more, plus Magpul clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AirOutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AirOutfitting.com.
Welcome to What Really Happened Radio. Visit us online at whatreallyhappened.com. And now, set your eyes on the future and let's consider what really happened.
And aloha, America. Welcome back to our show. And we're talking about Steve Bannon and this book, Fire and Fury, that has come on out. And by the way, the book is not out yet, but it's being excerpted in newspapers all over the world. And I have to tell you right now, some of the claims they're making about Trump's behavior do not pass the smell test. For one thing, Michael Wolff apparently was talking to lower-level people who are around the White House. The White House has already come on out and said the book is a fiction and that Wolff didn't really talk to anybody who's actually close to the president. And when I read the first excerpts, I said, no, it doesn't feel right. My gut is telling me it's part of the propaganda campaign to get Trump out of office this year. Setting that aside, everybody's wondering what happened with Steve Bannon. Michael Wolff is claiming he's got audio tape on all the interviews that went into the book. And so supposedly he can back up the quotes that he ascribes to Steve Bannon. So why is Bannon last night, after Trump's broadside against him, saying he's a great man and I support him and making nice like that? Part of it may be that the Breitbart brand that is heavily invested in support for Trump. He can't turn on the president without wrecking his own media empire. So why did he make the comments in the book? Or maybe the Bannon statements were basically the public statement of Breitbart. Steve Bannon was speaking as Breitbart, not as Steve Bannon. But it is very weird to see. Meanwhile, President Trump's lawyers have sent a cease and desist letter to former White House chief strategist Steve Bannon, ordering him from refraining from making disparaging statements about Trump and his family. And apparently, the gist of the lawsuit is that Bannon is now accused of breaching a non-disclosure agreement signed as part of working on Trump's campaign. So let's talk about Steve Bannon and Breitbart, because Matt Drudge is dropping hints that the future of Breitbart does Breitbart does not include Steve Bannon. And I'm sure we'll find out what's really going on in the next 24 hours. But there's a lot of hue and cry for Breitbart to let Bannon go, including from the White House itself. Now, Steve Bannon, of course, was backing a lot of Senate hopefuls for this year's midterm elections. And they're already starting to pull away. They're distancing away. He's turned into political poison all of a sudden. And apparently, the Wall Street Journal is quoting a part of the book where Bannon described Ivanka Trump as dumb as a brick. It's hard to see what's really going on. Anyway, getting on back to the book itself, it's called Fire and Fury Inside the Trump White House. It was written by Michael Wolff, who had apparently some access to the administration. And it's not even out yet. It contains more than 200 interviews with the president. And according to this article, he did interview in the inner circle. But again, reading some of the quotes that were already out in the newspapers, it just doesn't feel right to me. It doesn't feel real. Now, obviously, I'm going to have to get a copy of the book and read the whole thing. But what was out there about Trump's personal behavior toward his subordinates, it doesn't match with what we know about Trump from before the campaign. Even more amazingly, Wolf is claiming that Trump actually intended to lose, that he just wanted to run for president to increase his stature, and that he'd actually promised Melania that he was going to lose. And that's why Melania remained in New York. I'm having a hard time buying that one either. Trump years ago was talking about being the president so much. It doesn't sound like it was just a joke or a gag. And again, as disappointed as I am in Trump with his military agenda, I'm still glad he won. I'm still glad Hillary Clinton is not the president, because things would be a lot worse. As bad as they are right now, they'd be a lot worse. And this is a preliminary opinion until I get the book and read it. But this does feel like part of this propaganda campaign to get Trump out of office, to just demonize him while the Democrats try and get him out through impeachment or the 25th Amendment. Now, Trump's legal team is trying to block the release of the book. They're basically threatening libel lawsuits against the publisher based on the excerpts that have already been published. The White House is saying the excerpts already published are untrue, and they're threatening the publisher with libel. Now, there is no way they can go to court and get a judge to order the publisher not to release the book. That would violate the prior restraint issues. But apparently, Trump's legal team is basically trying to bluff the publisher into voluntarily withholding the book on the theory that the libel lawsuit settlements will exceed any profits the publisher might make from the book. Now, only just yesterday, I was talking about Trump's voter fraud commission and why we weren't hearing anything from it and what was going on. And today we're getting word that Trump has ordered the voter fraud commission dissolved. Now, it's not that he wants election fraud. He knows he's going to face it. He knows the Republicans will face it this November. He knows he'll face it again in 2020. But apparently the problem was that all of the states were refusing to cooperate with the Voter Fraud Commission. They were going to court. They were filing lawsuits. It was a classic case of lawfare. Just try and tangle everything up in the court system so that nobody could move. And so Trump basically came on out and said, rather than engage in endless legal battles at taxpayer expense, today I signed an executive order to dissolve the commission and have asked the Department of Homeland Security to review these issues and to determine the next courses of action. I don't have any confidence the Department of Homeland Security will look at this either. But Trump has again tweeted, the system is rigged and we must go to voter ID. I agree with that. And we have to get rid of those electronic machines and counting centers and crowdsource the process. And I have an article, if you go to whatreallyhappened.com, up at the top, right underneath my picture, it says how to have honest elections. And it describes a system that makes election fraud very, very hard to commit and very, very hard to conceal. In contrast with our current system, which seems designed to facilitate and then conceal massive election fraud. The roadblock that we face on this is that any laws at the federal level to reform the election system have to go through Congress. And if enough members of Congress are in Congress because of the current fraudulent election system, they won't vote it through. So we're kind of stuck there. Now, people have been writing into me talking about these little commercials, these little begs that Republic Broadcasting and What Really Happened do for money. And it is a real issue because we've just gotten word today that Red Flag News is having to close their doors. They've been a fellow traveler on the road to restoring the Republic. And they, like so many other fellow travelers, are now going to have to pass into history. It's kind of a death in the family. And it is a reminder, this is a real war between the corruption and the independent media trying to expose that corruption. And we've scored a lot of victories. I don't think we would be here with the Department of Justice reopening the investigation into Hillary's email server, however bogus that new investigation may be, if it wasn't for massive public pressure coming from Americans who are now getting their political news from the independent media, from Republic Broadcasting, from What Really Happened. Now, apparently, and this is in response to all the brouhaha about what went on with Hillary Clinton and personal electronic devices, but apparently White House Press Secretary Sarah Sanders has relayed a message directed at both guests and staff that personal electronic devices will no longer be allowed inside of the West Wing at all. The ban on cell phones, tablets, laptops, everything. Staff will conduct business on their government-issued devices only. I think it's a good idea, especially when you realize how many people can get into these cell phones remotely. Now, let's get into the international news and the wars, emphasis on the plural. Let's talk about Iran. A couple of different views about it. Over at Global Research, they've got a story, Global Warfare, Preparing for World War III, Targeting Iran, and basically commenting on the fact that very quickly it was obvious that the sudden explosion of rioting, violent protests in Iran, is another outside-sponsored attempt at a regime change. And this article ends by saying that the medium-term strategic objective is to target Iran and neutralize Iran's allies through gunboat diplomacy. The longer-term military objective is to directly target China and Russia. That would be extraordinarily dangerous, to say the least. Now, there's another point of view from FortRus.com saying that, no, in point of fact, the goal of all these protests is not regime change, but to force the EU to put more sanctions on Iran, because of the way Iran is responding to the violent protests. But as Russia has already pointed out, certainly the United States has no place to stand on that, given how the U.S. cracked down on Occupy Wall Street and Ferguson. Now, one of the reasons they're having tough economic times in Iran is because of existing sanctions. And remember, the P5+1 deal, which Iran is fully in compliance with, and the IAEA keeps confirming that over and over again, part of the deal was the United States would lift all of their sanctions on Iran. And the United States not only did not lift all of the previous sanctions, they added more. Congress voted them through to just punish Iran, just for the sake of punishing Iran. And if, in fact, Fort Russ is correct, and this whole violent protests requiring Iranian response is to get the EU to throw more sanctions on there, then the goal is the economic collapse of Iran. Meanwhile, however, the news from Iran itself is that whatever the objective of this, it seems to be fizzling. There have been huge marches in support of the government and Khamenei, far, far larger than the economic protests and much larger than the violent protests. Iran's Islamic Revolutionary Guard Corps is saying that the violent protests are already winding down. They're fizzling out. The people who are fomenting the violence don't really have the commitment to stay there. And a big reason why it may be starting to come apart, again, as we reported yesterday, an unidentified European citizen has been arrested trying to fan up the violent protest and was arrested in Iran's Borajerd County. This is in western Iran. And apparently, Iran intelligence is saying that this individual has been trained by European intelligence services and was leading the rioters. Now, the nationality and identity have yet to be disclosed. Apparently, back in Syria, the U.S.-backed terrorists aren't giving up, and apparently they're still somehow being supplied. Russian forces suffered casualties in Khmeimim shelling. This is the Syrian Arab Army, the National Defense Forces, the Tiger Forces, and other pro-government factions, supported by the Russian Aerospace Forces, have achieved notable progress against Hayat Tahrir al-Sham, formerly Jabhat al-Nusra. They keep changing their names over there. This is supposedly the Syrian branch of al-Qaeda in southern Idlib. So they're gaining ground there. But apparently they are meeting some stiff opposition. Now, as you know, Trump came out the other day and he tweeted out comments about Pakistan, about how the United States has given Pakistan more than $33 billion in aid over the last 15 years to fight terror. And the U.S. is not satisfied with Pakistan's progress in that area. Trump claiming that we've got nothing in return for the $33 billion but lies and deceit. So it's a little inflammatory, and I think Trump would have been well advised to tone it down a bit, but then we don't know the advice Trump is getting. Most of it seems to be very, very bad. Pakistan is now talking of a response to U.S. actions. They're not saying exactly what it's going to be, but they're making it very clear that they cannot let this one pass. And remember, as we reported yesterday, Pakistan has now reached a deal with China for direct trade using the yuan and not the dollar. Now, Pakistan's foreign minister, Khwaja Asif, on Wednesday said history has taught them not to blindly trust the United States in response to statements from top U.S. officials accusing Islamabad of providing safe haven to militants fighting in war-torn Afghanistan. And in this case, Pakistan's foreign minister is absolutely correct. The recent history, well, the overall history, but especially recently, the history of the United States does not create an image of trustworthiness. And again, we go back to all those countries that were persuaded to surrender their weapons of deterrence in exchange for a promise they'd be left alone. And it didn't happen. Syria gave up its just starting nuclear program on the promise they'd be left alone. They got attacked. I'm sorry, that was Libya. Then Iraq gave up their chemical weapons on the promise they wouldn't be attacked. They got attacked. Syria gave up their chemical weapons and so forth and so on. And that's why countries like North Korea are digging their heels in. They know that surrendering their weapons of deterrent is an open door to being invaded, and they don't want to go along with that anymore. Now, oddly enough, over in Ukraine, Ukrainian nationalist Levko Grigorovich Lukyanenko, who's a Russophobe, is out there saying that the Syrian jihadists are allies of Ukraine. Classic case of wars making for strange bedfellows. We're going to take a break for commercials, and then we'll come back. We've got a phone call.
I'm getting older and noticing that my body just doesn't work as well as it used to. So I like to keep fit as possible by hitting the gym a few times a week. Recently, I started having a nagging bicep pain, and it got so bad I couldn't even lift the weights. When I was complaining about it to a friend, he told me about Angioprim. He said chelation helps remove toxins, heavy metals, and cholesterol in veins and arteries that may cause blockages. You know, after just 1 week of taking Angioprim, the pain was gone, and now I'm back in the gym full strength. Scientific research proves the active ingredient in Angioprim has superior oral chelation action that helps promote cardiovascular health. So to learn more, go to angioprim.com. That's Angioprim.com. Or talk to a trained consultant. Call Angioprim toll-free at 877-882-7221. You'll feel better with more energy. Call 877-882-7221 or go to the website angioprim.com.
Do you know there is an ongoing war right here in America? Are you aware that U.S. citizens have been classified as enemies of the state since 1933? Have you recognized that our entire government is really a vast network of interlocking corporations engaged in commerce? Look up Title 28, Section 3002. Tune in to In Defense of Humanity on Saturday nights at 7 p.m. Central Time. Find out what's really going on and learn how to protect yourself and your family as flesh and blood men and women living in a corporate reality.
Extendivite really works. Just listen to what some people have to say.
About 6 months ago, my wife bought Extendivite. She didn't tell me she was giving it to me. So after about 3 days, I said, maybe the weather's changed or something. I said, my legs feel really good. And she goes, well, I've been giving you this stuff, and it was the Extendivite. And you know that I'm about 75% better. I can actually climb stairs now, and I can get up out of chairs. I can even get down and, I have to work under a table or a computer table and work on a computer. I can actually get back up off the floor. You know what? It's an amazing product. I didn't think anything short of having surgery was going to help.
Extendivite is only $69.95 for a 2-month supply of either capsules or liquid. Call now. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Some are maxed out all their credit cards. Some are working two jobs and living in cars. Minimum wage won't pay for a roof, won't pay for a drink. If you gotta have proof, distract yourself, Mr. CEO. See how far $5.15 an hour will go. Take a part-time job at one of your stores. I bet you can't make it here anymore.
And aloha, America. Welcome back to the show. And we're going to go over to the telephones now. Kathleen in Paris. Aloha, Kathleen. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Aloha to you. I wanted to talk about Iran and an extensive, like, 2-hour story about Iran and what's going on over there. It's a 2-hour, 2-part story by Sibelle Edmonds. And,
yes.
You know, she is Iranian, you know.
Yes.
And, well, she's half Iranian, I believe, and half Turkish. So she speaks Farsi and understands this from way back. And this report, I guess it's a two-hour documentary type report that she just put out. And it's behind, you know, it's on NewsBud. But they have this thing where you can, if you're not a member of NewsBud, you
yes.
can have it on Vimeo on demand. I don't know how that works. I don't know why people wouldn't, I mean, just join NewsBud. But anyway, maybe if you're only interested in this one story, you can have it on Vimeo on demand. I guess you have to pay something even for that. I don't know quite how that works. They just said that you can have it also on Vimeo on demand if you're not a member of NewsBud.
Well, I'm not signed up with Vimeo, so I'm not sure. But I think, that it is a paid service like Netflix. I don't know that for a fact, but I would think so. There is another documentary out. It's been out for a while. It's titled Don't Tell My Mother I'm in Iran, and it's a very good documentary, and it's produced by an Israeli filmmaker, hence the title Don't Tell My Mother I'm in Iran. And it basically shows Iran to be just like the rest of us. People live, people work, people raise their family, they just want to have a business, mm-hmm. they want to have a nice comfortable life, and that's it. Mm-hmm. It goes a long way toward reversing this whole demonization campaign about how terrible things are and what bad people the Iranians are. I think one of the good things about the internet is that as governments try and urge people toward war, people go on out and they look their enemy in the face, or at least in the culture. And they see what the cities look like. They see what the homes and businesses look like. And they begin to understand that the intended target really isn't a horrible person, that they really are more or less like us. They may have a different religion, speak a different language. But by and large, they're just – it's like Kennedy said when he was in Berlin. We all breathe the same air. We all walk on the same earth. We all cherish our children's future. And it's a beautiful sentiment, and it applies. And I think every time that the government goes on out and says we have to do something about North Korea, or we have to do something about Iran, go online and search up videos and pictures of these targeted countries. And don't wait for the corporate media to hand-pick or possibly even fake pictures to try and convince you of what's going on. Just do a little wandering around the global internet and find for yourself. And it really has removed one of the most powerful propaganda tools that war-making leaders like to use. Anyway, Kathleen.
It really is amazing. It really is amazing that they're using that exact same playbook.
Kathleen, going to have to put you on hold. We've got station identification. Stay on the line. I'll come right back to you after these few words.
There is an ongoing war right here in America. Are you aware that U.S. citizens have been classified as enemies of the state since 1933? Have you recognized that our entire government is really a vast network of interlocking corporations engaged in commerce? Look up Title 28, Section 3002. Tune in to In Defense of Humanity on Saturday nights at 7 p.m. Central Time. Find out what's really going on and learn how to protect yourself and your family as flesh and blood men and women living in a corporate reality.
Hey. This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.